chapter 40. And over the past several weeks in our evening services, we've been looking at some various promises that are found in the Word of God that help us to be faithful in our Christian walk and in our service. This morning, we're going to consider another one of those promises, and I think it's rather fitting that we would consider that this promise this morning after having spent some time there in Deer Lake with Humber Valley Baptist Church. This morning, I want to speak to you on the promise of God's sustaining strength. God's sustaining strength. Isaiah chapter 40, I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 25. We'll read down to the end of the chapter, then we'll have a word of prayer together. Isaiah 40, verse 25 says, "To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, feigneth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Let's pray together, please, before we consider the passage before us. Father, we thank you for the time that we have this morning to come and study together these promises found in your word. Lord, I pray today that you would teach us and help us as we consider this promise of sustaining strength. Now, Lord, you can help us in every time, and we ought to be looking to you and trusting in you for the strength to do that which you have called us to. So, Father, we ask and pray your blessing upon our time and our study this morning. We commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt overwhelmed by what you're facing? Dejected? How about weary? Unable to carry on? I would dare say that most of us at some point in time in our life could be able to say that in every one of those things we have found ourselves. We have felt as if we are going through this time, this trial, this testing alone. There are times that we fear overwhelmed by the circumstances that we are now facing. Because of those circumstances, it's easy for us to be dejected. We can become weary in well-doing. We can think that there is no way for us to carry on. Yet the Bible makes it very clear in Galatians chapter 6 that we are not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But the problem is, we are all, as human beings, susceptible to the issue of weariness. We become prone to feeling as if we cannot carry on, that we are going to faint. Anyone that has ever tried to give of themselves to another person, anyone who is ministering to the needs of another person or caring for someone else in their old age or sickness, the reality is we get to the point in time where we just kind of begin to wonder, is it really worth it all? I just can't seem to do any more. Sometimes I hear statements like this: I have nothing more to give. We become weary in the task. We are tempted to quit, to give up. We think that we don't have the resources to go on, and to keep doing what we are doing. Sometimes within the spiritual battles, we don't feel that we have the ability to fight the temptations any longer. So just give in. Our rationale is simply this. It's just easier this way. Yet the Bible tells us that we are required to be faithful. And that faithfulness is to take place even when we are weary. We are required as stewards to be found faithful to the Lord. It was a blessing this past week just to be there for a day with the folks there at Deer Lake to see them continuing on and being faithful as a church. It's not an easy thing for a church, and many of you know what it feels like, having been through it here, to be at a church without a pastor. It can be a weary time for a church, and it's difficult when you're in that time and you don't have a building or you're in the midst of the project, but they've continued on little by little. I think they said this week that it had been almost four years since they first broke ground on that building. And yet it's a blessing to be able to now see the auditorium finished and the upper part of that building done and them able to meet there. And it's good to see them moving forward and God is blessing them for their endeavors. I'm sure they feel like the way that we feel sometimes. Let's just throw in the towel. It just doesn't seem to be worth continuing on or fighting for these things. We can question, is it really worth it all? You know, sometimes we face those times in our lives, whether that be for our health. There are people in our society today, because of sickness, they throw in the towel. Recently, I read of, and maybe you did as well, of those that are seeking out the assistance of doctors for suicide. Why? Because they don't feel they can continue on in their state of health. So they would rather just end it all. Sometimes we want to throw in the towel, and it's related to areas of business. We're trying to run our business. We're trying to do things according to biblical principle. And let's face it, we're at our job and we're being constantly pushed to do things just a little differently. Do you really need to do things by those sense of morality? We can begin to look around and we can see others and we can see them getting ahead by deceit or deception, by lies. We can begin to think, boy, it'd be easier for me just to go that direction. I'd be able to advance a little further. But to continue to follow on and do things according to the Word of God, well, that gets hard. Sometimes, let's face it, we become weary in our prayer life, don't we? I've been praying and praying and praying for that person. And nothing seems to happen. I've been praying for that loved one for years. They're never going to get saved. Is that true? Joan's shaking her head. It's not true, is it? Talk to Joan Matthews and ask her how Tammy's doing these days. What a blessing it was to hear that she had come to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. She's been on our prayer list at church for many, many years. And we've been praying for them. And Tammy is now in the Word of God, and she is studying the Bible, and she's excited by those things. I recently have heard of two of the young ladies in our church. They're down in junior church now, recently been saved. They've come and said, Pastor, I want to even be baptized. Those are exciting things for us to hear. It was neat to hear of folks through the different churches and hearing of those who have been saved in recent times. Those are blessings. But we can begin to think, well, I've been praying and praying and praying and nothing's happened. Maybe I'll just stop praying. We can become weary in well-doing. We all face times of weariness. But how blessed we are to know that God has given to us in His Word a promise that He is able to give us sustaining strength. As we come to Isaiah chapter 40, I want you to first of all see with me the promise that is offered. There is a promise offered by the Lord, and it's found in verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God has given to us a promise in His Word that He is able to strengthen us. He is able to sustain us even when we feel that we are too weary to carry on. We can follow the admonition to not be weary in well-doing, for we will reap if we faint not. Why? Because God said, if you look to me, I'll sustain you in strength. That is a promise that is offered to all of us this morning. I want you to just turn back maybe just a page to Isaiah 40, the first verse. In Isaiah chapter 40, the second portion of the book of Isaiah begins. God has pronounced His judgment upon His people because of their sin. But as you come to Isaiah chapter 40, this second part of this book, this prophecy, God desires that His people look beyond their captivity. Look at what He says in verse 1. Comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. As Isaiah is making his prophecy to the people, yes, it is true that they have been punished for their sins. And it would seem to them that there was no hope. Yet God gives to them hope. Matter of fact, as you read those beginning verses, no doubt you hear the prophecy of a promise of one to come. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. There is hope for His people. And as we come to the end of this chapter, he gives to them this promise. Again, I want you to look at verse 25. To whom then shall ye liken me, or who shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out of their hosts by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, that he is strong in power, not one faileth. God is pointing His people away from their circumstances, which are causing them to be weary, and directing them again back to Him. And as you come to verse 31, the obvious thought is that there is one to whom we should look. The key to the rest of the book of Isaiah is going to be found in Jesus Christ. For the rest of this prophecy is going to point to this one who will come as their Messiah. This one who is promised of God, who is the hope for them. There is no reason for God's people to be so overwhelmed by life. There's no reason for us to give up hope. Because there's one that we can look to. His name is Jesus Christ. The key for us is that we continue to wait upon the Lord. God says those that wait upon Him will find their strength renewed. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. God says, I have promised you sustaining strength. He is able to sustain us. I want you to hold your place here. We're going to come back in just a moment, but I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look with me, if you would, at verse 7. Paul writes and says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Look at verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul responds, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. See, Paul understood that there is one who is able to sustain him. There is one who is able to strengthen him. There is one that gives to us sufficient grace. By the way, let me whet your appetite a little bit for tonight. We're going to come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to consider this promise of God's grace sufficient for our every need. Slightly different from what we're going to consider this morning. But Paul understood that there is one who is able to strengthen, one who is able to sustain. God has promised that we do not have to bear our burdens alone. We are to look to Him. We are to wait upon Him. He will strengthen us. He will help us. He will keep us from fainting. He will bear us up on eagle's wings. We can soar to heights unknown. We don't need to be weary. We'll be able to run, to walk, and not to faint. So I ask you this morning, are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Do you know that He will give you rest? God has promised to give us the strength we need to endure and do that which He has for us. We've considered the promise that's offered, but I want you to notice with me this morning the problem that's encountered. There's a problem that's encountered. See, you and I are aware of this promise. We have heard it before. We've considered it before. You have maybe come to these verses and you've memorized it. You know the truth. It's there. And although we know the truth as it is stated, yet we still struggle to realize His strength within our lives. Because we forget something. You and I are not omnipotent. Only God is omnipotent. We are impotent. We are powerless. We don't have the ability in and of ourselves to do all things. In fact, Isaiah is going to remind us of that in this portion of Scripture. Matter of fact, look with me if you would at verse 30. Let's back up to verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Isaiah says, be reminded of the power of God. He is omnipotent. But look at verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall. I want you to see two things with me from that verse concerning our problem. Number one, there's a failure of energy. There's a failure of energy. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Now, here's the reality. Most of us, as we are getting older, look at the younger ones as they run around with that, what we call boundless energy. And we go, boy, I wish I could have some of that. You know what? They only have that for a short period of time. Every year, one of our favorite activities around here is the all-nighter, and all up to it. Oh, I can't wait. We're going to stay up all night. We're going to do all these things. And they have it all planned out what they're going to do. You know what happens every all-nighter about 3 o'clock in the morning? I think it's time to sit down. Let's go play. Even though you shall faint. Here's the best part. They all stay awake. They all make it through. And by the way, I have not fallen asleep for one yet. That's amazing. I want to. I have a pretty comfortable couch in my office that I'd like to go through sometimes. But they don't. I haven't done it yet. Here's the funny thing. They all go home. Parents, tell me this isn't true. We end here around 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. And they go home. And they do what? They go right to bed. And it's 8 o'clock in the morning. They got boundless energy. No, they don't. They fall asleep, and so do I. 1, 2, 3 in the afternoon, they wake up. The only reason the boys wake up is because they got to eat. I am reminded just how much young men can eat. On Saturday, we had our men's breakfast with the folks at Deer Lake and went to the Deer Lake Hotel, and we all got our breakfast and got the combo too with plenty of food on there. Dennis, Pastor Celia, and I were full. We hit Grand Falls, and I decided, you know, I was thinking of Mackenzie. She's been sick over the weekend. She didn't have the big breakfast. I said, anyone need anything to eat? Ben goes, I can eat. You have got to be kidding me. He was hungry the whole way. Every time we stop, I can get something to eat. Really? I just wanted a coffee to keep me awake. But he could eat. But you know what? Even the youth will faint. They become weary. We have a failure of energy. Hey, folks, listen. You may want to serve God and you may want to continue on, but there's a problem that you're going to encounter. You're going to become weary. You're going to become tired. Why? Because our energy will fail, but there's one who won't. He never grows weary. We're also told that there's limits to our efforts, for even the young men shall fall. There are limits to our efforts. None of us have unlimited strength. We all grow weary, we all faint, and we are all limited in our effort. Even our best at times is not enough. It will fall short if we try to accomplish God's will in our strength. It'll fall short because there are limits to what you and I are capable of doing. But Zechariah reminds us of this truth in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit saith the Lord of hosts. See, there's a problem encountered. We have a failure of energy. We have limits to our efforts. There's only so much we can do in our own strength. But God is able. That leads us to the third point this morning, and that is this: there's the person enthroned. There's a problem that a promise that is offered. There's a problem that's encountered, but there's a person now enthroned, because Isaiah chapter 40 shows that although man himself is incapable of carrying on in his strength, there is one who has the strength to carry us through. It says our eyes are fixed upon the Lord, that we'll find the source of all of our strength. Again, folks, I think too often we give assent to this truth, but I think we fail to apply it to our lives and to our own experiences. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Oh, that's true. That's true. I just got to keep my eyes on Jesus. We sing the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." We know the truth, but yet so often we fail to put it into practice. I'll hear words like this: "Pastor, I know what the Bible says, and I believe that God is able to help me, to sustain me. I know it's true. But I just feel I can't do it anymore. I just feel this trial is too great. But I'm just so overwhelmed. But there's nothing I can do." God says something different in His Word, does He not? Not one of His promises fail. He has given us all that we need for life and godliness. Yet we lose sight of the person of Christ. If you and I are going to know His sustaining strength for our lives, then we must come to grips with a few facts that are given to us in this chapter. I want you to see these with me as we close. Look at verse 6 of chapter 40 down to verse 8. "The voice said, 'Cry,' and He said, 'What shall I cry?' Here's what God says: 'All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass.'" Look at verse 8. "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." You and I need to come to grips with the fact that the Word of God is sure. It stands forever. We don't. We fade. We become weary. But God's promise is true. His Word is sure. Look with me beginning in verse 9. Verse 9 and 10, we're going to find that God is strong and mighty. "O Zion, thou bringest good tidings. Get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him." God says to Israel, "Lift up your eyes, and I want you to behold your God. He is strong. He is mighty. We are as the flowers of the field. We are as but grass. We wither. God's word is sure, and our God is mighty." We can look to Him for our strength. Look at verse 11. "He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." You know what verse 11 tells me about my God? "In the time of my weariness, I'm as the flower that fades, the grass that withers. He is strong, He is mighty, but He cares." Folks, Israel had experienced the strong and mighty hand of God's judgment. God says, "I want to remind you that He cares. As a shepherd cares for the sheep, and as He gathers in His young, He cares for us." Peter would say to us, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Folks, that's a trait of God that we have to get hold of. Because too often, what I hear today, when things are hard and we become weary, is the accusation, "God doesn't care. If God loved me, why would He take me through this? God doesn't care." Oh, yes, He does. The Bible makes it very clear that God cares for us. And in our weariness, He helps. In our weariness, He will carry us through. He will gently lead us along. God cares for you. Look at verse 12 and following. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and who meted out heaven with a span? Who comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Consider those questions. Who's able to do that? Do you know how many grains of sand are upon the seashores of this earth? God does. Do you know how much the mountains of the earth weigh? God does. Do you know just how big our universe and galaxies are? How many meters wide is it? God does. You and I don't, but He does. Look at verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or who being His counselor has taught Him? Do you ever need someone to teach you? Someone to counsel you? Someone to direct you? Is there something in this life that you just don't understand? Yes, we need to be taught. Not one of us knew how to read until someone taught us to read. Not one of us knew how to tie our own shoes until someone explained it to us. No one has ever taught God. No one has ever counseled Him. Oh, sometimes we look around and say, oh, let's see, who am I going to get counsel from? Oh, it's some people with gray hair. They must be wise. You know what? I've had gray-haired people come to me for counsel. I have a few, but not that many. Even those that we think are wise still need counsel. I still need it, so do you. Look at verse 14. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the paths of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as small dust in a balance. Behold, he taketh of the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for their burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Is that your thought of the world today? It's not the thought of many people today. The problems of this world seem to be so complex, so difficult, so hard. And God says, you take all the nations and let them rise up against me. They are nothing to me. Because there is none like unto our God. His greatness transcends all others. Now look at verse 19. The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and cast the silver chains. Excuse me, back up to verse 19. To whom then will ye liken God, or to what likeness will ye compare to him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and cast the silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the world? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitant thereof as a grasshopper, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh judges of the people as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither as the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Verse 25, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? What do those verses tell me? Tell me God is sovereign. Tells me God is in control. No wonder why Isaiah begins to say, Israel, whom then will ye liken me, and why would you say your way is hid from me? You're weary. And I understand. But there is hope. And the way that you can be strengthened is to wait upon me. Folks, God has promised to us that we can know His sustaining strength. His word is sure. Our God is strong and mighty. He cares for us in our time of weakness. His greatness transcends all. He is sovereign over all, and there is none like unto Him. The youth will faint, but the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, verse 28, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. So wait upon the Lord. And the Bible says, He will give you strength. We all face times of weariness. We all feel like we just can't go on. I have nothing more to give. I can't endure with that person one more day. I can't be nice any longer. I just can't smile anymore at them. It's hard to be kind to them. I can't continue on to do what I'm doing. I can't keep moving at this pace. I don't have any more I can give. I don't know why it's worth even praying anymore, because it just doesn't seem that God ever answers. They're never going to respond to the gospel. Maybe I'll just give up. We all get weary. We all grow tired. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. God has promised to strengthen those who are weary. We will not be overtaken. Our strength in our flesh may fail, but when we turn again to the Lord, our strength is renewed. When we cast all of our care upon Him, He cares for us. When we come to Him weary and heavy laden, He will give us rest. Wait upon the Lord, and you will know His sustaining strength. Let's pray together as we close this morning.